Amen. I'd like to ask my wife to come up here. She's got the word today. She's the good wife. Amen. And we're going to have a lot of fun. I asked her if she wanted to do it together, but she had a word. And I said, well, all right, you bring it. Amen. That's good. Amen. And I was going to tell a joke, but I won't do that.
Well, was it funny?
Yeah. Did y'all hear the one about that old farmer? That old farmer never been married, and he found this girl, lived down a couple farms away, and he asked her to marry him. She said yes. He goes, well, I'll come pick you up on Monday, and we'll go down to the courthouse and get the license, and we'll have the preacher marry us in town. She said, all right. So he hitched up his mule, and he got her in the wagon, picked her up, and they go down the road. And all of a sudden, that mule stumbled over himself. And that farmer stopped, got out, hit that mule in the head, and said, that's one! Got back on the wagon. She just looked at him, and he's, come on, let's go. And they're walking down the road a little bit more. And all of a sudden, that mule stumbled again. He just, two! He got back on, and she just watched all this. And then he started going down the road. They got to the courthouse, and he stumbled again. He got out. He didn't hit the mule this time. He looked at that mule and said, that's three. And he pulled out his pistol and shot it dead right there on Main Street. Well, they went in and got the license, and he went across to the to town to walk down there and got another mule, hitched it up, and they're riding back home after they got married at the preacher's. And all of a sudden, she started talking a whole lot. And after a while, he pulled the reins real tight and stopped it, looked at her and said, that's one. They didn't laugh either.
It's not funny.
I thought it was funny. Guys, you know what you don't do in the middle of the night? I was thinking Melissa didn't smile a whole lot, so I took a Sharpie and put a smile on her face. That does not go over big. Don't do that, okay? Everybody good with that?
Well, I've got a lot to say today.
Right. Enough of the halftime. All right. Y'all, let's pray together. Say it with me. Say, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today.
For your word today.
And not the jokes. Say it with me. We thank you, Lord.
We thank you, Lord.
That you enlighten the eyes of our understanding.
That you enlighten the eyes of our understanding.
That you reveal truth to us today.
That you reveal truth to
with
us
open
today.
Ears
with open ears
and an open heart.
An open heart.
We receive
what you have for us
right now.
Right now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
name. Now, Father, we just thank you for the anointing that's on sweet Melissa. We thank you, Lord, that you would just speak through her this morning as we continue on with our series, The Good Wife, The Good Husband. We thank you, Lord, that the things that are spoken help us with our relationships, not just marriage, but also in personal relationships with other, our friendships, Lord, even dating relationships. We thank you, Lord, that you show us things, reveal things to us, the importance of how to live life and live it godly, but live it in light of your word, walking in good things in our relationships through your word. And we just thank you for that right now, and we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen. Give your neighbor a high five, and you can be seated.
Amen. Well, good morning. When James first suggested a few months ago, he was like, oh, we should do some marriage messages. We ought to do a podcast. And I was like, I don't know about that. I mean, our marriage is not perfect, you know? We don't have it all figured out. I know this is going to come as a shock to you guys. I know a lot of you think James is so lucky to be married to me. I know you think that. But I do things and say things that he doesn't like. I know that shocks you. I know it shocks you, but we're not perfect, okay? I floored you with that revelation. I can say, okay, get up off the floor. Okay. But anyway, as I prayed about it, God reminded me, you know, nobody's marriage is perfect, okay? We're all kind of figuring things out as we go. So we can learn from each other. We can learn the things that we've learned. So I'm going to share something that we've learned, and hopefully you can receive from it because you can relate. When I was in high school, I took Spanish. How many of you took Spanish in high school? How many of you remember any of your Spanish from high school? Two people, okay, good. Good for you. Well, we had a teacher, her name was Mrs. Moore. I know Isaac remembers it all because he's bilingual, but this one's for you, okay? So we had a Spanish teacher, and she was very Southern, and you know, she had that Southern accent, but she understood because she had had to learn Spanish the way we did. But about in the middle of our second year, she had a student teacher that came in, and this girl was born in a Spanish family, so she learned both languages at the same time and never had to actually learn Spanish, you know? She didn't have to learn it as a separate language. So she was like, I don't see why this is so hard for you guys. And she did not understand, she could not relate to why we were having a hard time with the conjugations and all that kind of stuff, because she didn't have to go through it. So that's what I'm saying, we can relate. We've gone through stuff, you've gone through stuff. How many, anybody in here have the absolute perfect marriage? There's never been a problem ever. Eric, all right, Eric's not married. So, but just remember, the quality of your marriage is never based on how few problems you have. It's based on how you handle those problems, okay? So God laid it on my heart to talk about communication. Open, honest, respectful communication is very vital in a marriage. It's in all relationships, actually. There are several of you that are not married. Some of you have absolutely no desire to be married, or you've been married and you don't want that again. You know. So yeah, some of you are like, you know, I would like to be married one day. And so this can relate to everybody because this is in all relationships, how you communicate. Listening is just as important as speaking in a relationship, right? Being able to express your needs, to express your concerns, to express your affection, all of that builds trust and it builds emotional intimacy. So this is, I'm not coming up with any new scriptures today. These are all stuff you've heard. They're all in your Bible. I promise you'll find them there. And if you want to look, you can. If you can see this, you can read along with me. I know it's a lot on one screen, but anyway. All right, this is Ephesians 4, 25 through 32. I didn't want to take it out of context because it's like it talks about speaking, and then it's got a little other thing in there, and then, but I didn't want to take it out of context, so we'll just read the whole thing. It says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. So speak truth, don't lie. That's basic, okay? It says, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Wait, does it say don't sin because you're angry? No, it says you can be angry and not sin. It's not a sin to be angry, but you can do it in the wrong way where it becomes sin, okay? It says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. And this is the little part that kind of doesn't fit, but it says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Which, it's interesting, it's talking about why are you supposed to work so you can give to others, right? So it's still how you relate to other people. Verse 29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So all the bad, put it away. And then it says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So, all of that sums up a good thing. We could stop right there and go home and it'd be a good day. But let's get a little more specific, okay? Communication's important, but we're talking about marriage, but like I said, it's true in all close relationships. So these are just some basic things, nothing, just hopefully it's a reminder, nothing, oh my goodness, and everything, you know, that's brand new. First of all, communicate. Let them know your plans, okay? When James and I first got married, he was a youth pastor already. He had been a youth pastor for about 6 months, and I worked in a jewelry store, and so they would make plans. They had their staff meeting every week, and they would make plans, and I didn't know about it. I would just find out later, or maybe not, you know. but I'm a planner, okay? If you don't let them know what's going on, then you're going to have frustration, right? Some things need to be planned. When William and Wesley were babies, I used to get the Twins magazine, and there was an article in there one time, and I could so relate, because it was talking about how, oh, if someone says, hey, let's meet at the park on Thursday, well, you can't just, okay, wake up Thursday morning. You're like, well, okay, if we're going to do that, that means they're going to have to get up earlier. That means that for them to get up earlier, they got to go to bed earlier the night before, which means the night day before they have to go. Anyway, there's a lot of planning involved, especially with twins, because with one baby, you know, you can carry them and do stuff with your other hand. With two, you got to have them happy, you know. you don't need them whiny. You don't need them upset and cranky and tired. So it's a lot of planning involved. My niece has twins, and we both agree we don't know if God gives twins to people who are organized or if he makes them organized because they have twins, because they kind of go together, okay? But like I said, when we were in Cleveland, they would make plans, and I didn't always know about it, especially after we moved back. We had gone to Tulsa, and that's where William and Wesley were born, and then we moved back to Cleveland. And we had Thomas, and so when you got three kids under the age of four, you don't really know everything else that's going on. And before that, when we worked for Willie, I was the secretary. So if people said, where is James this weekend, I could tell them exactly where they were. I knew the pastor's name. I knew the youth pastor's name at the church they were at, where they were speaking. I knew when the plane was going to leave. I knew it when it was coming home. I knew all of that because I'm the one who scheduled it. But once they were born, I wasn't the secretary anymore. I didn't know. They'd be like, where is he this weekend? I'm like, I don't know where he is. I can't remember. He was either in Texas or Ohio, or I don't know. You know, things change, okay? You don't know. So when we moved back to Cleveland, I remember one time Pastor Mark was doing announcements one morning, and he said, oh, and this Friday they're having this youth event at the home of James and Melissa. And he stopped and he goes, you know, she may not even know about that. And he looked over at me, and I'm like, no, I didn't. I didn't know about it. We used to joke that we were in the Uninformed Ministers Wives Club, and I was the president because I did not know the stuff that was going on. I know things now, usually. I did not know about, yeah, the Super Bowl thing. Y'all learned it when I learned it, so, so I guess I'm back in that club. But fortunately, we got a lot of time before the Super Bowl, so it's not like, oh, we're doing it tonight. But anyway, you know, surprises are not always good, right? How many of you like surprises? Some of you love them. I know Pastor Matthew, he'll tell Donna what kind of clothes to pack, and then he'll take her on this trip, and she has no idea where they're going. She loves that. I would hate that. I mean, absolutely hate that. I would detest it. Surprises are not always good. Sometimes they are. Anybody ever watch the show Everybody Loves Raymond? Okay, well, there's this one episode, and yes, they make poor Raymond out to be stupid, and she calls him an idiot and stuff like that. But there's one episode, she's cooking dinner, and she's got three little kids under the age of five. And so she's cooking dinner, and right in the middle of cooking dinner, he walks in, and he's got pizza. And he's like, hey, Daddy's got pizza. And the kids are like, yay! They're all excited because Daddy's got pizza. And Deborah's been over there cooking, and she's like, thank you, Ray. You know, you could have called. You could have told me. Because she's already cooking. It's not like, you know, and the kids are all excited about the pizza instead of whatever she's cooking. So instead of it being a blessing that he brought pizza home, it wasn't a blessing. If he had called and said, hey, I'm going to bring pizza home, she could have used that time. She wouldn't have wasted time cooking, right? She could have done whatever else she wanted to do, and then it would have been a blessing. But because he didn't communicate, it made her mad, which it's understandable. Now, I'm not saying you can't be spontaneous, but when it involves work, like maybe the other person has to do a lot of work that they wouldn't have done if they'd known about it, or now they have to do a lot of work because they didn't know about it all of a sudden, and you know, it's a short thing. You know, a heads up is appreciated, right? Right? Yeah. And not just for women, men. You want a heads up too. You don't want to come home and find out, oh yeah, 10 people from our family are here, and I should have told you, because you know, you walk in with a different mindset. You want to know about some things, okay? So, number one, let them know your plans. If you're living with somebody, whether it's your mom, whether it's your dad, whether your kids, whatever, you should communicate with each other. Your spouse, let each other know. If you have a roommate, let each other know what your plans are, okay? Yeah. Every night before bed, we'll touch base, say what's going on this week, but especially, what are you doing tomorrow? Are you going anywhere? Am I going anywhere? You know, what's the schedule? So we can plan, because it helps to know, oh, I didn't realize you weren't going to be here. You know, that kind of thing. So let each other know your plans, all right? Here's a biggie. Let them know now. Now is the key word here. Let them know now when you don't like something. I read somewhere that the greatest reason for divorce is the habitual avoidance of conflict. You have to communicate in your marriage, even if it's not pretty, okay? I had a friend years ago, and she was unhappy in her marriage. She'd been married over 10 years. They had two kids together, and she'd never really communicated with her husband all the things that bothered her. So it was just building up inside. And she finally was ready to leave him, and that's when she told him. Well, he had no idea that she was unhappy because she'd never told him any of this. And so he, you know, said, hey, can we please work things out? And so he tried, you know, he tried doing the things that she said annoyed her. He tried to fix that. He tried to do the right thing. But she had already checked out in her heart that the marriage was over. And she'd already decided that she didn't want him anymore because she had let it all build up. And so no matter what he did, instead of, even though he was doing the right things now, it made her mad. She was like, why is he doing it now? Why didn't he do it before? And she was, you know, she even said one time, she said, I wish I could just fall on his fist so I could have an excuse to divorce him, so that I could tell people he hit me. It's like she had already shut it down in her heart because she never told him. She never communicated that she had the problems with him. And they're married to different people now. One of their kids lived with his girlfriend for a long time. The other one is a girl. She decided she is now trans. Because it doesn't just affect you, okay? It affects your kids. It affects other people. I know one of our boys was close to one of the kids in that situation, and he was like very scared that something was going to happen with us, or are y'all going to get a divorce? I'm like, no, honey, we're not going to get a divorce. Just other people, other kids, they see it too, and so it makes them worried about themselves. You got to talk to each other. No spouse is a mind reader. You can't expect them to know what you're thinking and feeling if you haven't communicated it. Either you communicate it or you're going to create distance, and you may just shut it off, but the responsibility is yours to communicate. Pouting and silent treatment, that's immature. That's manipulative. Either grow up and tell them what's going on, or you need to decide, you know what, it's not that important, set it aside and go on. Right? Sometimes you put up with a lot of things that annoy you and frustrate you, and you bottle it up because you want to be the peacekeeper, but then one day you just explode because you can't take it anymore. And you need to learn how to express those annoyances and those frustrations when they happen. And then that way you don't explode. Remember Ephesians 4:15 says, speaking the truth in love. So when you do, you don't explode on them. You can tell them the truth, but do it in love. Okay? You do it, and we'll talk about that in a minute. On the other side, if someone else, your husband or your wife, or, you know, whether if you have a roommate or whatever, whoever's living with you, if they express something that they don't like, you have to learn how to respond to them not liking something about you, because guess what? You got issues too, right? Yeah. Right. James 1:19-20 says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Most of the time, I'm not an instant arguer. I kind of need time to process what the person's saying to me. And it's like, I'll apologize for whatever it is, but I need to be able to process, like, okay, what is this real? Did I really do something wrong? Are they being touchy? Is it a combination? You know, a lot of times it's a combination. Maybe you did something wrong and they're being touchy, right? But you need to listen to their side without interrupting. Listen to them and try to understand their point of view. You may not agree with it, but still you need to try to understand it, okay? Do it without being judgmental. Make sure that they know you're not judging them. You're listening, you're not judging. Ask questions like, okay, now, did you mean this? For clarity, you may still not agree with them, but is this really what you're saying? So that you understand before you like, no, that I don't agree, or whatever you do. Show them respect, okay? Even if you don't agree with whatever they're saying, respect goes both ways too. It's not just a man thing and not just a woman thing. You need to respect each other, right? Yeah. Right? Now, if you wait too long to bring up what's bothering you, a lot of times that other person's not even going to remember what you're talking about. They're like, I don't remember saying that. I don't remember doing it. That was 2 years ago. I don't know what you're talking about. You know, right? Right? Have you ever had somebody bring up something that happened a long time ago and you're like, I don't know what you're talking about, because it's been living in their head this whole time, but you didn't know anything about it. So misunderstandings happen. People say things that come out wrong. So when something like that happens, try to assume the best. Think it through and think, okay, from their point of view, could they have meant it this way? Could maybe they didn't mean it as harsh as it sounded. I know we had a friend one time, I don't know if you guys know Mary Glusek, if you remember her. Years ago, I think we had a Christmas party at my house, and back then the kids were younger, and my house was just always a mess. I mean, how many of you, when your kids are young, was your house a mess? Please, somebody else raise their hand besides me. Thank you. Okay. I know Sally's was not, but the rest of us. Anyway, Mary came over, and she said something about, oh, your house is so clean. And I'm like, oh, honey, you have no idea. And she's like, no, really? And I said, come here. You want to see something? And she's like, okay. So I took her in the bedroom because I had taken everything that was all over the place, the rest of the house, and I had taken it into the bedroom, and I had it, like, just on the floor everywhere, on the bed, on the floor, just and had the door closed so nobody could go in there. Which, if you go in somebody's house and their door is closed in a broom, don't go in there. Okay, just don't. That's just mean. It's rude. It's mean. But anyway, so I let her see it, and she got so excited. She's like, oh, this is awesome. Thank you so much for showing this to me. And she almost had tears in her eyes. She was so excited to see that we had I had messes too. I'm like, oh my goodness. So the next year for her birthday, I told some of the ladies, I said, oh, you know what we need to do for Mary? I said, find a mess in your house. I said, don't make one, just, you know, I mean, we all have messes. I said, find a mess and take a picture of it, and we're going to give her pictures of our messes. Well, and I say this about Sally because she forgot to take a mess when there were some dishes in her sink. So she actually had to restage her mess. But or her camera didn't work or something. I don't know. Something. So we all did that. Well, this one lady, I'd only been over to her house a couple of times, and I mean, it was clean, fine with me. I didn't think anything about it. But she always talked about her house was a mess. She always talked about how messy her house was. So she brings this picture, and it's literally a shower curtain laying in the messes than that. And it came out wrong. I didn't mean, because I know your house is so messy, but that's the way it came out. And I was like, oh, there were other people around, and I just stopped talking because, you know, they say stop digging a hole because, you quit talking, you're just digging a hole. So I just stopped, and I was like, oh, that's not what I meant. And I thought, hopefully she knows that's not what I meant. But I didn't bring it back up, and so a few weeks later, she said, I need to talk to you about something. I was like, I'm so sorry, I felt so bad. So it came out wrong. That wasn't what I meant. I said, I meant because you talk about that your house is messy, not because I think your house is messy. I had no idea. But sometimes things come out wrong. And she was, and I'm so glad she came to me, that she, you know, didn't just get mad and, you know, give me the silent treatment and I'm wondering what happened all this time. Although that one I think I would have remembered. Because I still remember it to this day, and that was, 18 years ago. But anyway, sometimes they did mean it bad, but most of the time people aren't trying to be mean, okay? Try to assume that they meant something right. Now, if somebody tells you, hey, I don't like something that you did, and you turn it into, oh, you think I'm a terrible person, you think I'm a terrible wife, you think I'm a horrible husband, you think I'm a bad daughter, son, parent, whatever, and you turn it into this whole thing, and then they're having to spend the next hour saying, no, you're a wonderful person, I just don't like this one thing, no, you're great, I love you, you're wonderful, and, you know, it's going to make them think twice before they ever tell you anything again, right? And then that makes them bottle back up, and then the whole explosion thing. So talk to them about it now. Be able to receive it, okay? 1 Corinthians 16:14 says, your every action must be done with love. So before you talk to people, your husband, spouse, whoever it is, what is your reason for telling them this? Think about it. Think in your, why am I telling them this? Is this going to actually help them? Is it going to help the relationship? Or are you just really mad right now and you just want to lash out and let them know you messed up right here? Do you just want to hurt them? What is your reason? Because the words you speak are going to live in their minds probably for the rest of their life. Those words will come back up. If anybody else ever, even if they forget it for a while, if somebody else says something similar to that, even if it's not to them, it's going to come right back in their mind. They're going to remember all the bad things that you said about them. And once you say it, it's kind of like that toothpaste thing. You can't get it back in the tube, right? You can't take the words back once you said it. So what is your motivation? Why are you telling them this? And so think things through before you just spout out an attack on who they are as a person, okay? And then another thing, is it just a difference of opinion? I know Thomas likes to be a smart aleck. I know that shocks you. I have sons who are smart alecks. I know, it's surprising. Right, Wesley? Yeah. But like you'll say something like, oh, the sky is blue, and he'll be like, that's your opinion. No, it's not. The sky is blue. What are you talking about? That's your opinion. And he's just being a smart aleck. But think about what you're talking about. What is it that you're upset? Is it just an opinion? Is it just your opinion? I mean, that's okay. Just because you like something doesn't mean it's wrong for me not to like it. And just because you don't like something doesn't mean it's wrong for me to like it. It's okay. It's an opinion. We all have differences of opinion, right? So think things through. Think your motivation. Think all this kind of stuff. Also, it's not what is said, but how it's said, right? And timing. Timing. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Tone and timing are extremely important. Can't tell you how many times the boys would come in and want to tell James something. I'm like, this is not the time. Do not. He has not had coffee yet. He's he's not going to hear anything you're saying. No, or he's looking for his keys or something. It's like, don't ask him right now, okay? Just trust me. Wait until later. Timing's a lot. One time we were on vacation many years ago, and he got a text from someone that said, when you get back, I need to talk to you about something. And I was like, why? Because he doesn't handle that well. Wait till he gets back and tell him this. Don't tell him. And so I'm texting him. I'm like, why did you send him that text? He's trying to call you. Please answer the phone. And they had turned their phone off for like 2 hours. So for 2 hours, he's going, what do you think it is? What do you think he's want to talk about? And I'm like, I don't know. It may be nothing. It may be a happy thing. You never know. But timing is everything, right? Right? Okay, and then once he got, it wasn't a big deal. He was like, oh, I was just going to talk to you about it when you got back in 5 days. I was like, he's not going to enjoy the rest of our vacation if he doesn't know what you're going to talk to him about. So timing is everything, okay? Also your tone. We did, in the drama, we had a little exercise that we did, and they had two people get up on the stage, and they took turns saying, I love you, in different ways. And so they'd be like, I love you. 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 You know, see, it all means something different, doesn't it? Each tone meant, so when you text people, that's why sometimes it's hard to know what they mean, because you can't hear the tone. You can say the same words and the tone totally tells you something different, right? So think about your tone when you're talking. And that doesn't mean that just because you're not screaming, they don't know you're angry. Trust me, they will know you're angry. Even if you talk in a pleasant tone, they're going to know if you're angry, okay? You don't have to scream for them to know that. But you can do it in a nice tone. So anyway, either let them know now when you don't like something. Tell them if you have an issue that's going to cause you to hold a grudge, tell them now, because you don't want to let that build up. And if it's not, and it's something like, you know what, this is just an opinion, or, you know, it's really not that big of a deal, and I don't need to bring this up because it's just going to hurt them. Just telling them this, it's not going to help anything. It's just going to make them feel bad. Then choose to forgive them, move forward, and know that, you know what, you're not perfect either, and pray that they will forgive you when you do the same thing, right? All right, so let them know your plans. Let them know now when you don't like something. And then this one's even more important than that. Let them know now when you do like something, okay? Love builds up. It doesn't tear down. So yes, there are things that you need to tell them when you're frustrated and when you're upset, but you should tell them when you do like something, because that way they've got that foundation to build on. 1 Corinthians 16:14, we read that a minute ago. It says, your every action must be done with love. So how will your words and actions be remembered? Are you a builder or are you a devastator? Do your words build up? Do they tear down? See, a healthy marriage is about two people learning to live with each other's imperfections, right? I think it was Billy Graham's wife who said something like that. And she was married to Billy Graham. I mean, come on. make sure you spend your time focusing on your spouse's strengths, not their weaknesses, okay? You need to be their biggest encourager, not their biggest critic. They know when they mess up. You don't have to tell them every time, right? There are a lot of times you may have a disagreement about something and you find out, yeah, you really were right. You don't have to tell them every time. They figured it out too. They know you were right. You don't have to rub it in. Oh yeah, huh, I was right. See, told you so. You don't have to do that. It's like they know they were wrong. You know you and you're wrong. You don't want them rubbing it in your face, do you? All right. Your husband or your wife or whoever we're talking about, they should know more about what you like about them than the things you don't like. You should be an encouragement to them, okay? If you're always quick to point out what the negative is all the time, you're going to regret it. Irritating things or irritating behaviors, they should not be the focus of all your conversations. Like I said, there are times to share your frustrations, but encouragement should be even more. You should share it even more, okay? And do things for them and compliment the good things in your spouse because you care about them and love them and want to bless them. Don't do it for brownie points. I don't do brownie points, okay? I don't try to earn them. I don't try to give them because that's selfish. Oh, if I do this or say this, then he'll do this or say that. No, you're just doing it because for you. If I do something for James, I do it because I love him. I don't do it because I want him to do something for me. And I don't call attention to the things that I do either. I'm not like, oh, look, just want you to know, I saw you didn't have Dr. Peppers in the refrigerator, so I put them in for you. Pat me on the back. Tell me thank you. You know, you don't have to tell them. If you see something that needs to be done and it would be a blessing to them, do it. You don't have to go over there and say, hey, just want you to know I did something for you, okay? Because you do it because you love them. You don't do it because you want to get noticed, right? The Bible says in Colossians 3:23 and 24, it says, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. See, you do it as to the Lord. He's going to notice it. When you focus on being a blessing to other people instead of your own needs, God sees it, and he's going to bless you, okay? You should treat your spouse better than they deserve. Actually, you should treat all other people better than they deserve. Because you know what? That's how God treats you every day. He treats us all better than we deserve, right? Right. So look for something specific to appreciate in your spouse every day. However specific you are in your complaints, you got to be even more specific in your compliments. They're going to remember the complaints more than they remember the compliments. If you just say a sweeping, you're a terrible cook, they'll be like, well, I don't want to cook anything. But if you're like, oh, you know, I didn't really care for this recipe. See, that's not even talking about the person. Saying you're a terrible cook, that's attacking them. But say, I didn't like this recipe, that's not them, that's the food, right? And then, because if you say they're a terrible cook, then when they do make something weird, you're like, oh, well, I guess you're getting better. Well, no, you found a better recipe, you know? Again, it's not attacking the person, it's talking about the thing. It's like, oh, your personality just makes you do this. It's like, well, okay, that attacks their whole personality. How about, oh, okay, you know, this part of your belligerence in your personality, that's great when you're trying to get something done, but in this, could you maybe tone it back just a little, you know? You know, you can say it in a nicer way, okay? See, James, he's very thoughtful. I don't know if you know this about him. I'm sure you probably do. He truly wants to be a blessing to me. He looks for different ways to say I love you all the time. He leaves little notes on the mirror in the bathroom sometimes. He gives me cards. He likes to buy things that he thinks that I'll like. He takes care of all the maintenance on the house. If either he does it himself or he hires someone like Matthew to to do it. You know, if we're out of town, one of us, then we always talk on the phone every day, no matter what. We'll text also, of course. But does he ever do things that make me mad or frustrate me? Yes, of course. But if I focus on the good things, then it makes me kind of forget the bad things, you know? So focus on the good things. One of our boys one time, many years ago, he had a friend girl. It was not a girlfriend. They were just friends, and they hung out all the time. We thought he liked her because they did. They hung out all the time. She'd come over. He'd go over there, you know, whatever. And but they were just, he would tell us we were just friends. We're like, yeah, okay, whatever. It's more than that. We were wrong. But anyway, so after a few months, she told me something had happened because I hadn't seen her in a couple weeks. And so we were supposed to do something else. So I talked to her and she said, oh, did he tell you what happened? I'm like, no. She told him that she had feelings for him. And he said, well, I don't like you that way. And she was like, oh, she said it was so awkward, and she just got out of the car and went in the house, and so she felt really bad. So I was like, oh. So I went to that son. Well, I have four of them, so you don't know which one it is. So I went to that son, and I said, hey, can I talk to you about something? I said, listen, I said, who you like is your business. I said, I mean, yeah, we love her. She's beautiful, great Christian, you know, all the. I said, we like her, and we thought you liked her, you know, but obviously you're just friends. I said, but whether you like her or not, that's your business, but let's talk about how you talk to someone. How do you tell them that you don't like them, okay? And so I talked to him about the sandwich method. You know, I said, instead of just saying, I don't like you like that, you could have said, you know, I love hanging out with you. You're one of my best friends. I don't have those kind of feelings for you, but I really do love hanging out with you. Put it right in the middle, but you're still got all the good, right? So you gotta outweigh the good with the bad, okay? That, the sandwich method is twice as much good as bad. Well, that's not enough in a marriage. You need to have 10 to 20 times as much good as bad. For every bad thing you think, you need to list 10 or 20 things that are good. Because if you're focusing, if it's just 2-1, you've still got a lot of bad that you're focusing on. You need to focus on the good, right? So, I'm sorry, this is going a little long. I'm sorry. Y'all need to squirm? You need to okay, good. Almost done. Okay, I'm on the last point. So let them know your plans. Let them know now when you don't like something, and let them know now when you do like something. And then the last point, all your words matter, okay? Proverbs 18:21 says your words, in the Passion, it says your words are so powerful they will kill or give life. The talkative person will reap the consequences. In the Message, it says words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You decide, or you choose, excuse me. So what kind of poison or fruit comes out of your mouth? Your words are powerful. We've talked about this many times in church, right? They're important to your faith. They're important to your self-image. They determine how you receive from God, right? Well, in your marriage, the words you speak matter just as much. Whether the words you say in person, whether you say it directly to your spouse, whether you say it under your breath, like I said, Deborah, she's like, idiot. It's like, well, what are you saying? Do you really want your husband to be an idiot? Maybe don't speak that over him, okay? Or jerk or whatever, okay? Whether you're around your friends, what are you saying to your friends about your marriage, about your spouse? What are you saying about him? Your family, you don't need to be telling your parents all the problems with your spouse. When we worked for Willie George, he talked about when they first got married, they had their first argument, and Deliva, his wife, she went running home to her daddy, and Willie had called and said, hey, she's on her way over. Well, her dad came out the front door, and he said, you, go back home, go work it out with your husband, turn around. And so she did, because he was like, nope, you're not coming here. You need to go work it out. You don't need to be talking about your spouse to your family, to your kids. Your kids don't need to hear all this. They love you both. They don't want to hear all that stuff, right? Even coworkers. What are you saying to your coworkers? See, the words you speak will focus your emotions in the right direction or in the wrong direction. It's your confession of faith over your spouse, whatever words you're speaking, okay? So here's some things you should pray over your marriage. First of all, thank God. If you're married, thank God for him, her, him, whatever. Thank God for your spouse, because there are a lot of people who wish they had a spouse like yours, okay? If you're not married and you are happy, awesome. That's great. Be thankful that you're not, because there are some worse things than being married, right? Or than not being married, excuse me. But be thankful for your spouse, okay? Ask God to bless your spouse. Ask him to give you and your spouse wisdom. Ask him to protect your marriage. Ask him to pray for your future together, okay? Ask him to help you keep your priorities straight. Ask him to help you guard your hearts. Ask him to help you not be critical, but help you see the positive things in your spouse, okay? That one may be a harder one. Maybe you're like, oh man, you've been focusing on the negative so much that, and all you see is the critical. So ask God to help you see the positive things. Ask him to help you help your relationship grow so you can grow closer, and ask him to bless your intimacy, your affection, and the love you give each other, okay? And then Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. So speak good things about your spouse to everyone. Speak words over your spouse, and by all means, speak love to them, okay? Your words matter in your marriage and all your relationships. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm going to leave it to you. All right.
That was excellent. Was that not excellent? Amen.
Sorry, 12:05. I tried to hurry.
That was excellent. Amen. You know, there's so much about communication, isn't there? How many of you learn something new every day about your communication? Yeah, you need to, because it matters. It matters at your job. I've seen people come to me for counseling years ago because they got fired. And when it got down to what happened is they didn't tell their boss something. So especially all of us from that generation where our parents didn't talk a whole lot. You never heard things. And we didn't learn to communicate. But if it was a home where things were open and out front, there was always dinner on Sunday together. People talk. People communicate. And we need to be better communicators. Can you say amen? Amen. Because what they don't know can kill you. Amen. And I'm sorry I didn't tell you about the Super Bowl thing, but that was so far away I didn't think it would be a big deal. So we had a running joke about the Uninformed Minister's Wives Club. Wow. Dating relationship, whether it's friends, people that you're very close with, if they don't understand you, you're not a good communicator. One of the greatest communicators I think ever lived was Ronald Reagan. Nobody could communicate something the way he did. And even when he was mad at Gorbachev, you know, when they left Reykjavik during those talks, he looked at him and got right in his face. You never wanted to make a deal. And let him have it, and then turned his back on him and walked and got in his car and left. Well, that was powerful. It made a statement, especially at the Berlin Wall. Mr. Gorbachev, what did he say? Wall. Tear down this wall. He was a communicator that left no stone unturned. He made sure it was clear and it was spoken. You need to be a better communicator in all aspects of your life. Can you say amen? And it was such a good point about faith. You're literally speaking faith over your friends, over your husband, over your wife. But you need to put it in reference to the fig tree and put it in reference to where Jesus spoke to the mountain. Because you have the ability with your mouth to destroy that mountain or to build it up and make it a beautiful place to view, to look at, to just enjoy, and it be heaven on earth. Or your relationships can be hell on earth. Can you say amen? Amen. All right. Hey, bow your heads with me. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the word today. Thank you for speaking to us. Lord, it was so rich and so good, so important that we know you and that we not only know you, but we know how to communicate truth. Lord, people's eyes need to be enlightened to the word of truth. But Lord, we need to be better communicators in communicating that word of truth. And Lord, I just thank you for all of us that are here today, all of us that are watching online. May we grab hold of these things and be better communicators in our lives. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. If you're watching online or you're here this morning while heads are bowed or eyes closed, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you ought to do that right now. Jesus could come back tonight. He could come back tomorrow. Everything could change in a moment's notice, and all of a sudden the trumpet sounds. Where would you be? Would you be before the Lord? Would you be left behind? I don't know about you, but I want to know him. I want to be close to the Lord. I want to know his promptings. I want to know him. I want to know that I would go to heaven. And if that's you and you want to make that decision, or maybe you've not been living for the Lord like you should and you want to make things right, let's all pray together and we'll pray with you and you can make it right now. Pray with me, church. Pray with me if you're watching or if you're here today. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I believe that you sent your Son Jesus, who lived, who walked this earth, who bled and died for me, and was raised from the dead. I believe that. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me brand new. From this moment forward, I will live all of my days for you and serve you and honor you. In Jesus' name, thank you for saving me. I am now born again. Amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer, we would ask you just to send us an email or come talk to us today.